Good morning. Good to have everyone with us. Good to have our visitors with us. Starting today, I'm going to do a five-part series on Colossians chapter 3. So for the rest of August, you'll know what I'll be preaching, and I hope you'll go home and read it for yourself. Don't take anything at my word. Check the word. Make sure I'm not leading you astray. It's sad to me that people go to church and they listen to a preacher or a teacher and they never cross-check the word. Never, they just take their word for it, and that's dangerous. The text this morning is going to be out of the New Living Translation because I like the way it's worded. I've entitled this Living the New Life, and it'll be Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. Father, again, I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Lord, you prayed that we would be sanctified by the truth. I pray that you will take this text to every heart and mind in here. Holy Spirit, that you will open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Open our hearts to receive this word. Lord, I just pray a blessing on everyone who's here this morning. I pray that you will take this text to every one of our hearts as only you can. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory. I pray, Lord, that I might decrease, that you may increase. Holy Spirit, enable me to bring this message straight and true as you would have me to bring it. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I decided to start here, but as I was studying this week, I felt it necessary to bring you up to speed, so to speak. My introduction's almost 5 pages long, but don't worry, I know that we're having lunch today, and you guys, you know, you don't want to be here all day. But there's a reason for that, so I ask you to be patient with me. There was a crisis had arisen in the church at Colossae. Paul himself had never been there. If you read the book of Acts, he always skirts around Colossae. He'd been to Laodicea, he'd been into Hierapolis, but he hadn't been to Colossae personally. He would go into Ephesus. But there was a man whom Paul had trained, named Epaphras, who brought the gospel to Colossae. And Paul had been in Roman imprisonment for 5 years now. Again, you can find that in the book of Acts. He did 2 years in Caesarea and 3 years at Rome waiting for his appeal to Caesar. So Paul can't get there. And I think God did that because Paul was such a barn burner, he didn't stop. So he had to sit in jail in order to settle down and be able to write these epistles, or we wouldn't have them. Well, Epaphras sent a messenger to Paul, and he said, "We got problems." And since Paul was his mentor, Epaphras wanted him to tell him what needed to be done and asked him to write a letter to this church. Now, the problems they were having, the Judaizers were teaching these Greeks that you had to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses. You had to worship on the Sabbath on Saturday. You had to obey the Levitical dietary laws in order to be holy. Again, if you're familiar with the book of Acts, it wasn't long after the Jewish Christians began to evangelize into the Gentile world, Paul said certain men from Jerusalem went down and told these Gentiles that. So they were saying, it's good you believe in Jesus, but you need to be circumcised and come under the law of Moses to really be God's children. There's people that still teach that to this day. They don't call themselves Jews. Then there were the Gnostics. The Gnostics taught that there is no such thing as sin. The only sin you need to be delivered from is ignorance. You need to realize your own deity, that you are a god. And once you realize that, there's no worries. They had Greek philosophers, the Stoic philosophers, who taught that all matter is evil, but your spirit's good. So it doesn't matter what you do in the body. Or no, excuse me, that's the Epicureans. The Stoics taught, since all matter was evil, but your spirit was pure, in order to get close to God, you had to treat your body very harshly. They did things like take cold baths. They fasted. They abstained from marital relations. You know, and they said, this is how you become holy. The Jews said, by obeying the law, you become holy. By being circumcised, you'll become God's child. The Gnostics said, well, we have a secret wisdom, and we can tell you how to get close to God for a price. Sounds familiar? You two turn on the TV and these New Age gurus. God has given me a revelation, and I'll give it to you for $39.95. Go to any Christian bookstore and buy my book. Others were claiming that they had visions and angels told them, this is how you get close to God. Now, what's interesting, in the beginning of this letter, Paul starts out with praise to these people. I'm going to read to you what he has to say. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. Paul then goes on to say, and I've been praying for you. He'd never been there, but he said, since I've heard of your faith and your love, I've been praying, and I'm asking God to fill you with spiritual wisdom so you will know his will. Now, how many of you would understand it was no coincidence these false teachers showed up at this time? Satan, we say Satan, the Hebrew word Satan means adversary, one who opposes. So while Paul's praying and saying, God, would you enlighten them through your spirit? Would you give them wisdom? The devil said to his boys, get after it. We can't give them the truth. Get over there, boys. It was no coincidence, as far as I'm concerned. And these people are new Christians, and they are hungering for truth. They want to know the truth. And if you're a Christian, you should want to get closer to God. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Not the curious. Not the nonchalant. Not those who think they're already righteous, like the Pharisees that Greg mentioned this morning. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, it means you're not satisfied with yourself. You're saying, God, I got a ways to go. I'm not where I need to be. Jesus said that when you're in that mindset, you're blessed. Because he said God will fill you. So here Paul is dealing with these issues. Epaphras was the leader, but he sent word to Paul and said, how do I deal with all this? And there wasn't a thing wrong with that. Paul was his mentor. Paul had trained him. He's saying, I need your experience. I need your input. I need your advice. So Paul sits down and writes this letter. He actually wrote three. The scholars say at the same time, he wrote to Colossae, Philemon and the Ephesians. And a man named Onesimus delivered all three letters. Colossians, Laodiceans, and Philemon. I'm sorry, I said Ephesians. And he delivered these letters. So the Apostle Paul begins by reminding these people just who Jesus is. And he talks about his redemptive work on the cross. Now these are Christians he's talking to. Paul says he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave us our sins. Now think of this, keep this in mind. These false prophets are coming in saying, Jesus isn't enough. Or I've got a special revelation from God. If you want to be holy, you need to listen to what I'm telling you. You need to do this. It amazes me, but it doesn't surprise me, a lot of this mindset's still in a lot of churches today. I went to high school with a guy who attended a holiness church, and he never wore a short sleeve shirt. If you asked him why, he'd say, because the flesh is sinful, and you don't expose the sinful flesh. And when we had to dress out for gym, we loved to rag him. We said, hey man, your epidermis is showing. He'd get all irate. That's not funny, I have to dress this way. That's right out of Stoic philosophy. But we say it in the church like it's a biblical fact. Well, that old evil flesh. How many of you know God never created anything evil? Including your body? Yes, he didn't create evil. He didn't create you evil. He didn't create your body evil. Our body's a machine. But there's churches that teach that the human body's evil. Or if you want to be holy, you got to wear your dresses down to here. You got to keep your shirt buttoned up to here. You need to wear a tie if you're really sanctified. I remember I invited a man to church here a few years ago. We were talking to him. He said, well, do you have a dress code? I said, yeah, we prefer you wear clothes. I said, that's all the dress code we have. Please wear clothing. He said, well, I've been in churches, you know, they like you to wear a suit and tie. I said, I don't wear a suit and tie. But some churches teach that you have to dress a certain way to be holy. That's lunacy. The Pharisees did it. They dressed in their long robes. They put phylacteries on their prayer shawls showing how many scriptures they'd memorized. Pardon me. And Jesus said, you know, you guys look good on the outside, but I can see your hearts. And you're full of everything unclean. So the way you dress doesn't make you holy. Well, if you're a Christian, you don't watch TV. If you're a Muslim, you don't watch TV. Well, if you're a Christian, you don't use tobacco. Well, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you don't use tobacco. If you're a Mormon, you don't use tobacco or drink coffee. See what I'm getting at? If you ask somebody what a Christian is, a lot of times you'll hear, well, they read their Bible and they go to church. The Pharisees read their Bible every day. And Jesus said, you refuse to believe it. You won't come to me. His disciples read the Bible and Jesus said, you're awful dull. You don't understand. I told you last week, he said to the people of God who claim to be God's people, you don't even know God. Here these young Christians are, these new Christians, and they're hungry for knowledge. They're hungry for wisdom. They want to get closer to God, and the devil immediately sent false teachers in. And the sad thing is it appeals to people. If you'll keep these rules, this makes you holy. What God say? Your righteous acts are like unclean rags to me. If I told you literally what the Hebrew meant, you'd be offended. It's not very nice. He then goes on to explain who Christ is. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. You remember, these teachers are telling them Jesus isn't enough. I hear people today, Jesus was just a good moral teacher. Jesus was an angel who became a man. That's not what Paul said. It's not what John said. That's not what Peter said. It's not what the Bible says. Paul said he's the creator. Not only is the creator, he's the one that holds everything together. He said he created kingdoms and kings and authorities. And guess what? They're under his feet. See, some of the people were teaching the Colossians, you need to watch out for those demons. They occupy the air. And boy, I mean, they can harass you. What was Paul saying? The demons are under his feet. He created everything. Now keep it in mind. Jesus isn't enough. If a church tells you that you have to dress a certain way to be holy, they're telling you Jesus isn't enough. If a church starts laying down, don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, they're telling you Jesus Christ isn't enough. It's good you believe in him, but you need to keep this set of rules. Now, am I saying that there's no rules of Christian conduct? No. You can read the word and find that out for yourself. In fact, God said in the new covenant, I will write my laws on your heart and on your mind. His moral laws. God didn't give us a list of rules. I've never read anywhere in the Bible that God says, now, if you're going to be holy, you got to dress this way. Do I believe in modest dress? Yes. Men and women should dress modestly. But the way you dress doesn't make you holy. Keeping the rules doesn't make you holy. This is what Paul's getting at with his church. These people are telling them that if you want to be holy, you want to get close to God, you want to know God, you're going to have to do what we say. And Paul's saying no. He's saying that's not what it's about. He encourages them to remain in Christ. He explains who Christ is in relation to the church. He said Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. Very often in the Western world, when we read that, when we say Jesus is the head of the church, we think that means he's the boss. And he is. But the Greek there, and what Paul's saying is, he is literally the head. Paul taught that. He said, we're all part of his body. Well, that's just a figure of speech or a metaphor. No, that's not what he was saying. You can lose a hand and still survive. You can lose a foot and survive. What happens if you lose your head? Literally, the body dies. Paul wasn't just pulling things out of the air. He was saying to these Christians, Jesus is your head. What Jesus say? If you don't stay connected to me, you can't do anything. He talked about him being the vine and we're the branches. He said you cut the branch off the branch dies. You cut yourself off from me, you're going to die. And yet these teachers are saying, well, Jesus isn't enough. Paul didn't believe that. I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about Paul. And you know, Paul thought he was a godly dude, thought he was righteous when he was a Pharisee. He thought he was doing the will of God by persecuting the church. Paul thought him and God were just like this until he met Jesus. And later on, he would write to the church, "All those things I thought was gain, I count them loss." And in the Greek, he says, "They're doo-doo." I'm going to put that nice. Paul said, "It's all doo-doo." Paul thought he was a godly man until he met Christ. Paul thought he was alive till he met Christ. Paul thought he was following God until he met Christ. That changed his life. Paul's been where some of these people were. He was definitely where the Judaizers were. Before this, Paul would have been agreeing with them, saying, "Yeah." But what'd he find out? Nobody will be justified by the law. Nobody will be justified by keeping regulations. "For no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law." The Bible very plainly says that. He encourages them to stay in Christ. He said, "Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." What's Paul saying? I know you understand it. Paul's saying you started out with Jesus, stay with Jesus. The truth was preached, the truth was taught. Do you think you're going to improve on that? You remember what he said to the Galatian church when some of the men decided they were going to be circumcised and come under the law? Paul said, "Really, did you receive the Spirit of God through faith or works of the law?" Well, they would have said, "Well, through faith." And Paul said, "Now are you going to finish what you started in the flesh?" He went on to say to those men, "You who receive circumcision have fallen from grace. Jesus Christ is of no avail to you. You brought yourself under the curse." What curse? The curse of the law. The law says, "Cursed is everyone who does not keep every word of the law." I guess Paul didn't know once saved, always saved. I guess Paul didn't know that you can't fall away from grace. And yet Paul said to these men, "You've had it. You believed in vain." He said, "Now you've turned to the law. You've made yourself a debtor to the law. You've placed a curse upon yourself." Isn't that sad? He said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who cast a spell on you? You were running well." You see, Colossae wasn't the only church with this problem. Satan wasted no time in getting into the church. He's the adversary. Jesus warned us there would be false prophets in the last days. And boy, I mean, it's full of them. People who stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," when the Lord didn't send them. We still got people claiming they're having heavenly visions. "Well, God's revealed to me." Anytime somebody says that, you need to take a step back. There is no extra revelation, church. This is the revelation of God. And anybody that speaks in his name and doesn't go with this book is a liar. They are a false prophet. You don't have to worry about them. If it sounds like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a duck. Same way with a false prophet. Now, I know you know this. I'm not jumping on you. What I'm getting at is Paul, this church is going the right way. Now they're being deviated. And Paul's saying, wait a minute, stay in Christ. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our holiness. Christ is our redemption. You're not going to find it anywhere else, not by keeping rules, not by a certain diet. They were teaching asceticism, and that's a big word. It just means you cut yourself off from society. Greg mentioned with the Pharisees, don't come near me, I'm holier than thou. Well, brother, you know, it could ruin our testimony. If we associate with sinners, well, you already ruined your testimony by not associating with them. Jesus was a people person. Jesus went to parties. Jesus sat at tables with tax collectors and prostitutes and ate dinner. He didn't quit being Jesus. See what I'm getting at? Their sin didn't influence him, but boy, he had a lot of influence on those people. Paul said to the church, you stay rooted in Jesus Christ. Don't go following after these false teachers. He ended up calling this teaching vain philosophies, unholy, earthly teachings of men. Paul didn't pull any punches. He said, this isn't God, this is men. Paul said, you stick with the Lord. The Gnostic said, we have secret wisdom. Paul said, all the secrets of God are in Christ. He'll reveal that to you. Well, they told us about these scary demons. Paul said, those scary demons are under Jesus' feet. Yeah. Well, what about circumcision? Paul said, you were circumcised when you were baptized into Christ through the person of the Holy Spirit. It was spiritual circumcision. He said, don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moons or the Sabbath. I've told you before, I've had Christians tell me, you got to worship on Saturday if you want to be close to God. You got to keep the Levitical dietary laws if you want to really be God's children. Well, then what you're telling me is Jesus isn't enough. In essence, that's what you're saying. Jesus isn't enough. It's good you believe in Jesus, but you got to keep certain rules. Jesus is more than enough, church. The Apostle Paul said Jesus is our life, the very source of our life. He wants to be all of our life. I said that last Sunday. God doesn't want to be a part of my life. He doesn't want to be the center of my life. He wants to be my life. The problem we have is we're so egocentric, we think we can call the shots, and God's okay with that. I'm including myself in this. And I think the Lord looks at us and says, you don't have a clue. There's a lot of false prophets out here today, church. You go to CPO and Mardell's and their bookshelves are full of their books. Oh, it's a Christian bookstore. It must be Christian books. Stores and books can't be Christians. People are Christians. What'd Paul say? Church, remain in Christ. Am I saying don't read books? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you're going to read these books, compare it to the Word. See what the Word says. A lot of Christians get deceived because they don't know the Word. Well, that sounds good to me. We're going to start a study Wednesday night. If you can be here, I'd love to see you here. We're going to do a few weeks on the Christian cults. Going to talk about their doctrines and what does the Bible say. I'd love to see you here Wednesday night at 7 p.m. You don't have to be a theologian or a trained scholar to understand what Paul was saying in this letter. His whole letter focused on Jesus Christ. In fact, the whole Bible focuses on Jesus Christ from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The psalmist said, in sacrifices and burnt offerings you have had no pleasure, but a body you've prepared for me. And I said, lo, I come, O Lord, to do your will. That's Jesus. God told the devil, there'll be a man come from the woman who will bruise your head. That's Jesus. God told Abraham, one of your descendants will bless all nations. That's Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus said, in the volume of the book, it's written about me. Don't get your eyes off of Christ, church. You don't need the Olsteins and the Copelands and these other people trying to tell you how to get close to God. You have the Spirit of Christ within you. God said, you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. It's all Jesus. Paul said, you have a new life. You need to start living it. He said, all this stuff these people are teaching you, you used to be into that when you were in the world, but he said, you should be dead to that. Set your minds, fix your minds on heavenly things. That's on purpose. Paul taught, and I didn't read all of this. Paul talked about all the things that Christ has done for us, his redemptive work, his sanctification, his making us holy in God's sight. And Paul said, set your minds on that. Don't listen to what the world tells you. Don't listen to silly doctrines of men. When I came to Christ, I had a bag of weed in my pocket, a pack of cigarettes in my other shirt pocket, a 12-pack of Pat Blue Ribbon sitting next to me. Boy, what was left of it? And when I fell on my face before God, he didn't say, well, you get that weed out of your pocket and get rid of them cigarettes, and I'll save you. He didn't say that. He saved me. He had mercy on me. If I'd have went to a church and talked to a preacher, that might have been exactly what he said to me. You get that marijuana and them cigarettes out of your pocket and throw that beer away, maybe God will save you. No. Am I a perfect man? No. Am I faultless? No. Am I sinless? No. But I'm not the man I was 40 years ago. And I give God the glory for that. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on my Lord. He's in the life-changing business. That's where my strength comes from. That's where my hope comes from. That's where my holiness comes from, is Jesus Christ. I don't let the world lay their trip on me. Stay rooted and grounded in Christ, church. That's all you need. Would you stand with me this morning? This was rather lengthy, but I wanted to lay the groundwork. I wanted you to understand what was going on. We're going to be all August. We're going to be on the fifth chapter. The third chapter, I'm sorry. Go home and read it. Go home and study it. We're going to break this chapter down a couple verses at a time and talk about what Paul's saying. And the theme of it's going to be living the new life. Paul doesn't just tell us to do it. He tells us what to do, how to do. And I really hope that you will attend, and I hope you will study. I hope you will pray and meditate. It's one thing I love about teaching is I learn. It forces me to dig.